Turn, please, to the book of Psalms, the 25th Psalm, Psalm 25 in your Scofield Bible, page 610, and beginning with the fifth verse, we'll read through verse 14. The 14th verse is the text verse for this morning's verse, or this morning's message. And let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Let him teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. And let's pray. And Lord, we treasure the privilege of being here. Thank you for the warmth of blessing that we experience when we enter these doors, when we sit in these pews, and when we are surrounded by those of our church family, those who love each other and who love thee. But thank you, too, especially for the services, the songs, the rejoicing together, and the preaching of thy word. Bless that preaching today. Open our hearts, help our minds to be clear, help us to be focused indeed upon that which is spoken behind this pulpit this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The message I'm going to bring this morning is one that I have been planning on preaching for several weeks. I couldn't figure out whether to preach it Sunday morning or Sunday night. I do not feel like Sunday morning sermons and Sunday night sermons ought to be any different from each other. However, we do have more of our people here on Sunday night because we have so many folks working on buses and junior churches and DC and these Sunday schools and so forth. And so, if I'm going to overhaul you, I like to do it on a Sunday night. Like the fellow came to Roloff one time, somebody had a good meeting, said four got saved and three got rewound. If I'm going to rewind you, I do it on Sunday night, usually. But this sermon doesn't fit either one. It's not what I would call a Sunday morning sermon, though I don't like to call sermon Sunday morning or Sunday night. It's not what I would call a Sunday night sermon, but it's something that I think that we need. It also is more appropriate to sincere, mature Christians than to others, though it will apply to everybody. I want to speak today on the subject, look for a whisper. You say you mean listen for a whisper? No, look for a whisper. I'm going to read you my text this morning. You read a while ago. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Now, I want you to know that word covenant there is a word synonymous to Bible, judgments, different words for the Word of God. And the word covenant means Bible. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. I want you to notice that's connected to the Word of God. He will show them his covenant. Sometimes it's called testimony. Sometimes the Bible is called commandments. And sometimes it's called God's covenant. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And notice, and he will show them his covenant. So this secret he's going to show us is the Word of God. Please listen as I speak to you. An unusual kind of a sermon entitled, Look
for a whisper. Our Heavenly Father, I come this morning to speak to these precious people, people to whom I've spoken over 41 years. I need your help. I want to feed them. I want you to feed them. I'll just be the waiter. But may I take them what you have prepared for them and serve them today. May they listen and feed upon what I say. In Jesus' name, amen. I doubt very seriously if some of you will think this is a pungent kind of a sermon, because it is not. Let me begin by telling you a little story. I was in the paratroopers, as you know, in World War II. When we went to the paratroopers, in those days they used the M1 rifle. The Springfield 1903 rifle was going out, and the M1 rifle had just come in. They took me in the paratroop training, and the sergeant said, "This is your rifle, Mr. Hiles." And they said, "This is your weapon." They said, "This weapon will determine whether you live or whether you die. Your future in battle will be determined on this weapon. Now, whether or not you live or die will be determined on how you treat this weapon," he said. Now, he got all of us in our company together. We each had his rifle. And the sergeant said, "Kiss your rifle." That's not my type, but we kissed the rifle. He said, "Now kiss it again." In fact, every morning when we had reveille, we had to get our rifles and go out reveille, and we had to kiss our rifles. Then he said, "Before you leave this camp, you will know your rifle better than you know your own body." He said, "The truth is, you will have to get this now. Blindfolded, you'll have to take this rifle apart and put it back together blindfolded." Some of you folks who are troopers, remember that? A rifle, sailors, that's a gun that goes boom. It's got bullets in it, and you don't have that in the Navy. You have squirt guns, they said, and by the way, we had to do it. Every month that I was a paratrooper, we had to take in our outfit, I had to blindfold it, take my rifle and disassemble it and put it back together. Now, one, they had white gloves inspection. You dormitory students know what I'm talking about. That's when the captain would come, Captain Fuller would come, and he would get inspection. Arms would get the rifle all lined up like that, and he'd take the rifle, and then he'd take a white glove, and he'd rub the white glove inside. You know what I'm talking about. You fellows that could pass the physical, Forrest, you and I. But if they found one speck of grease or dirt, one little speck, you were in trouble. Well, they came through the barracks one day, and the inspection arm, and we did it, and he grabbed my rifle, and you're supposed to let it go the minute he grabs it, too. Grabbed the rifle, and he put that white glove down in there, and here was the spot. That night, you won't believe this, I don't care. That night, he made me tuck my rifle in bed. He made me kiss it goodnight and tuck it in bed. And I slept on the floor while my rifle slept in the bed. Neither of us slept well. But I honestly, and every time that you failed a white glove inspection, you had to tuck your rifle in bed and kiss it goodnight, and then you had to sleep beside it on the floor. Now, the sergeant said, and Captain Fuller said, the reason is, this is your weapon. Your future, life or death, will largely be determined in battle by whether or not you know your weapon. Ladies and gentlemen, we likewise have a weapon. and your spiritual life is not determined on how excited you get, and your spiritual life is not determined upon how separated you get. Your spiritual life is determined on how much you, how well you know your weapon. Now, in this 25th Psalm, don't miss it now. This is not a pungent sermon, but you ought to get it. In this 25th Psalm, in verse 14, it says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. And then the next line says, He will show us His covenant or His word. All right, look at me. That word secret is an interesting word. That word secret is many times in the Bible is translated whisper as it is secret. You could, it's synonymous. What it says is the secret whisper or the whispering secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. So, the whisper of the Lord. Now then, what could this mean? Here's the answer. It means the same thing that the Bible means 8 times in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, when it says, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Or, in 1 Kings 19:12, there was a still, small voice. Let me explain what the whisper of the Lord does not mean. It is not talking about just being quiet and meditating and God whispered to you. It's not talking about that at all. It is not talking about being monastic and reclusive and get alone somewhere and God will whisper to you. It's not talking about that at all. It's not talking about becoming secluded and spiritual so that as you become meditative and spiritual, God will whisper to you. That's charismatic stuff, which is unscriptural as drinking liquor is, by the way. And it's not talking about being alone and thoughtful. Here's what it's talking about. The Bible is called the Word of God. God speaks to us 99% of the time through this book right here. The Holy Spirit speaks to us, but the Holy Spirit happened to write a book. And He speaks to us mostly, if not almost all the time, through this book. All right? Now, if the Bible is His Word, through it He speaks to us, then if He whispers to us, it are things that we see in the Bible and not things that we hear with our ears. Now, sometimes His words are thunder-like. Matthew 25:41. Then He said, instead of those on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, to everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. That's the thunder of the words of God. So Amos 4:12. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. That's the thunder which He speaks to us. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. And that's the thunder. Sometimes God speaks to us in thunder. Other times God speaks a words of shout to us, like John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's something to shout about. That's He speaks to us in shout-like terms, or Acts 16:31, or Romans 8:1. There's therefore now no condemnation of the have been in Christ Jesus, and there's no verb in that verse. Chapter 7, He's talking about the battle between the flesh and the Spirit, the old nature and the new nature. And then He says, who shall deliver me? And then in Romans 8:1, no condemnation, no judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus, because our sins have been charged against Him and taken off our record, and we'll never be judged for our sins if we're children of God. Now those are shout-like ways that God, words that God gives to us. John 5:24, verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Those are shout-like words of God. Or Revelation 22:17, or Matthew 28:19-20, or 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17, dealing with the second coming of our Savior. There are other words that are words of tenderness, like Matthew 11:28, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Or John 14:1-3, when he says, that talks about, in my Father's house are many mansions, if it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. And Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Or John 6:37, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Or Romans 8:28, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. Romans 5:8, God commends His love toward us. Those are tender words. And
There are also obvious words of exhortation, like the Sermon on the Mount, or the Beatitude, or fruit of the Spirit. But here's the sermon this morning. There are also His whispers. We seem to hear, but we don't hear. We seem to see, but we don't see. We seem to know, but we don't know. We seem to eat, but we don't eat. We seem to read the Bible, but we don't read. I'm trying to say, how do you... You don't hear the whispers of God. You see the whispers. They're little tidbits in this Bible that you're going to have to look carefully for if you find them. Then that's the whisper of God. Now, the thunder of God, that's obvious. And the shouts of God, those are obvious. And the exhortations of God, those are obvious. But to the sincere Christian, we all want to know the whisper of God. Between the lines, if you please. Things, the handfuls of purpose. I marvel and I'm disgusted how little we care about this book. The average person in this room this morning, you spent 10 times as much time watching that stinking box this week as you did in this blessed book. I'm trying to tell you, it's time that people of God got acquainted with our weapon. Sleep with it, memorize it, read it, love it, learn it, kiss it. It's the eternal word of God. It's the future of your life or death spiritually. Get in love with the Bible. Now, in so doing, there are whispers that God gives to us. As a young preacher, I used to like to preach His thunders. And then later on, I like to preach His shouts. But now I listen and watch for a whisper. The fine print. The still, small voice. The whisper in the Bible. I'm not talking about at night taking 5 minutes to read it because you're supposed to read the Bible. I'm not talking about spending an hour and a half watching a presidential debate and then 5 minutes in the Bible the same day. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this weapon right here. Here's your hope not to fall into sin. It's your hope to win the battle in the battle against the devil. I'm saying, love it, hug it, kiss it. This is your weapon. This is your M1 rifle, if you please. I spend much of my life scanning this book, watching for a whisper. Much of what I hear Him whisper or see Him whisper is what I give to you. I read it and I reread it. I'm not kidding. You ask the little gal in the choir that lives with me, she'll tell you, she sees me on the porch or on our little porch. She sees me with my Bible open studying. She sees me as I am always looking and looking and looking and looking, trying to find a whisper in the Word of God. God has so many things in this book. I wish I could get you to love it like you are loving. God has so many things in this book that you don't even know. All you're concerned about is, I'm supposed to read the Bible. Bless God, I know I'm supposed to read the Bible. I love to read the Bible. And I love to hear His thunderings. I love to hear His shouts. I love to watch carefully for His whispering. I own no commentaries. That's unusual for a preacher. I don't own a set of commentaries. Somebody said, you own Matthew Henry? No, I just own Matthew. I left Henry a long time ago. I don't own a commentary. I never read a commentary. I do not read sermon books. I just read the Bible. People say, Brother House, you give us so many things that I haven't noticed in the Bible before. You know why I noticed it? Because I scan it all the time. I'm watching for a whisper. You listen to me? I'm watching for a whisper. I want to know not only what's obvious, I want to know what God meant when He said what He said. I say, I study no theologians. I read and watch and listen while I read. I preached a sermon a few weeks ago on thou shalt covet. Maybe you remember it. Maybe you don't. Probably don't. But thou shalt covet. Where did I get that sermon? I was reading over there in 1 Corinthians 12:31, and it said, covet earnestly. And all of a sudden, I was watching. I was watching for a whisper. Not listening for a word of knowledge, but looking for a word of knowledge. Not some kind of spooky thing like, oh, hold it. There's someone radio land has gallbladder trouble. There are millions of people in radio land that have gallbladder trouble. And there's a guy on the television that's got brain trouble also. But now, wait a minute. show me a word of knowledge. No, show me. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. And I was reading 1 Corinthians 12:31, covet earnestly, and I said, boys, over in Exodus 20, verse 17, says, thou shalt not covet. I began to see a whisper. I began to look in the Bible. I found out that coveting, the earnest gift, is not coveting something for myself, but coveting something for me to give to you. Shh. I was watching for a whisper. And I found that whisper. People say, Brother House, you get so much out of the Bible. You got the same Bible I've got. It's not that I get so much out of it. It's the fact that I spend so much time looking at it and watching for a whisper. You see, I want to see the exquisite lines on the face of the Almighty. I want to discover the fine, His fine courtesies. I want to know His sensitivity. I want to learn His ponderings. I want to discover the oceans of truth, but I also want to discover the tiny ponds of truth in the Bible. I want to hear the hammer of truth, but I also want to hear the gentle tapping of truth. I want to see the bright lights in the Bible, but I also want to see the tiny flickers in the Bible. I want to see His fire, but I also want to see each small ember. I want to hear His thunderings and shouts, but also His whisper. I want to see His flood tides, but also His raindrops. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the eternal, pre-existent, divine Word of God. Always was. Before there was a rainbow, there was a Bible. Before there was a mountain, there was the Word of God. And by the way, I have it just like it was handed down, originally preserved in the old King James Bible. Why in the name of, hey, if you got a letter from the White House, well, you'd burn it probably. Years ago, I got a letter from President Reagan. I said, listen, Ronnie, I can't run for vice president. I'm too busy. He wanted me to be his host. He was campaigning for president. He wanted me to be his host while he was in this area, in the Northwest Indiana area, campaigning. And I looked at that thing. He said, from the White House. He'd already been president one time. From the White House. I got a letter from President Carter inviting me to come and be his guest at the White House, and I did go because I wasn't preaching anywhere. I did not take Mr. Reagan's offer because I was busy preaching somewhere. But from the White House, a letter from the White House. Oh, brother, I've got a letter from the Heaven's House right here. God's eternal Word written to the Creator. Hey, it's a tragedy how little we live in this book. Ladies and gentlemen, learn to want to get. Watch for the whispers of the Word of God. I was reading Isaiah 9:6. His name should be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Shh. I think I see a whisper there. I checked that word, Prince of Peace. I found out it meant tranquilizer. His name should be called Tranquilizer. I got news for you. You can save some pills, some pill bills. That's a pretty good way to put it. You can save some pill bills and some doctor bills. I'm simply saying, listen, I'm not saying that this book will cure everything you've got, but a lot of you folks that are sick would get cured if you just look for the treasures in this book. When I found that out, I had a conniption fit backwards. I jumped up and down and ran around the room. Why? Because that's in a whisper. I was reading John 15, where it says, verses 1 through 4, abide in me. Abide in. Shh. I think I see a whisper there. I checked the word abide and I found it's the same word in John 14, in my Father's house or many mansions. What he was saying was, if I will live in Christ, I'm living in my heavenly mansion. Hey, well, the greatest thing about heaven is Jesus. That's the greatest thing about heaven. And He lives right in here. I wish I could get you to become Christians. I wish I could get you to love the eternal words of Almighty God, not only reading the thunderings and the shouts and the exhortation, but watching. for a whisper. What else is in here? I look at it. I read every word. I don't mean I look at every word. Then I reread every word. I'm looking for a whisper. I'm trying to find a whisper in the Bible. I was reading 4:19.
My God shall supply all your need.
I think I see a whisper there. Need? You say God's going to give you what you want. He's going to give you your needs.
Not just to fulfill the needs. He's not only going to give you what you want, but what to want.
I'd like to reach out and grab you and say, put that stinking newspaper down and get in God's eternal book. Turn that little knob that says off on your radio or television and get in God's eternal book. Not just the words, but the whisper. Not just the thunders and the shouts, but the whisper. I was reading Galatians 6:9. It says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap. You think not. I think I see a whisper there. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Here's what that means. Let's don't get weary of doing things well. He's not just saying there, don't get weary of doing good deeds. He's saying, don't get weary of doing whatever you do well.
And these guys that work for me, they'll tell you, Brother Howell, it's really easy, brother. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. And God said, don't you be weary. If you play the organ, play the piano, lead the singing, sing in the choir, teach the Sunday school class, serve on the deacon board, serve the Lord's Supper, whatever you do, it's God's business, and do it right, do it well, and don't get weary of it.
Brother Jeff will tell you, as he told me, he's now running buses over in some of the affluent areas. This way, instead of Chicago ghettos, he's running buses over there. Upper middle class and sometimes upper class people financially. And occasionally they'll come to our church. I thought, hey, Brother Jeff said, they don't always agree with what I say, but they're always amazed at how things are run here. They're amazed to see something, a church, run right. And that's where they'll always be. But Brother House, what are you saying? I'm saying, I didn't get that. I said, oh, my soul, I haven't read the Bible today. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season which we pay not. Hey, that's it. No,
I'm looking. I'm trying to find the whisper, the things that God has for me, that you don't get just by casually reading the Bible. You examine it.
Mrs. House, we whisper a lot to each other. And she whispers in my ear, Do you know what? What? I love you. Oh, you know what? Shh, don't tell anybody. It's a secret. I love you.
But the night we're in bed, and she said, you know what? I said, what?
She said, do you know what?
I said, what?
She said, I beat you in dominoes tonight.
And that's what most of you folks get out of the Bible. There's a God in heaven who loves you. He has some handfuls of purpose.
Some whisperings. Look for them as you read the blessed book. Listen as you read, as an athlete reads his playbook. It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace
for a bunch of goons who play professional football for a living, a boys' game for a living, to know their playbook more than a child of God knows the eternal words of Almighty God. It's a disgrace.
Listen as an investor reads the stock markets. Look for the whispering as a pilot listens to the control tower. As a physician reads the x-ray, as a lover reads his love letter. 42 years ago, this December, I received a letter from First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. I was not interested in the least of coming here at all. For 9 months or 7 months, I wrestled with what I should do about considering this church. You say, how did you find out what y'all do? I lived in the book. I mean, now, nobody said the king of the north, oh, they're supposed to go up north. I don't believe that kind of stuff. I'm looking to the King of Hawaii.
The King of Maui.
But I read the book, and I was looking for a whisper. In every big battle that I've ever fought, and I've fought a few of them, I've lived in the book. Lived in the book. 43 years ago this Tuesday, I was given a choice for the Southern Baptist Convention to support their seminaries that did not believe this book and support their professors like the one I had in seminary that said that heaven is a bunch of blind, a resurrection body is a bunch of blindfolded spirits in a vacuum. And they said, you've got to support that or you can't be a Southern Baptist anymore. I said, okay, then I won't be a Southern Baptist anymore. And I went home and told my wife, I guess the door's closed. I guess the jig's up. But I stayed in the book. I'd walk and read it. Through the night, I'd read it, looking for a whisper. Looking for a whisper. Trying to find not just the shouts and not just the thunderings, but looking for a whisper. Before I counsel with people, every night or day I counsel, I get in the Bible. I'm looking for a whisper. In studying for this pulpit where I preach here, I'm always looking for a whisper. Just coming through. I believe you could blindfold me and I could find more scriptures. It's an old story, but I feel like I ought to tell it. This is Miles an hour in East Texas. A little parsonage. Cost $5,000. I found out that the First Baptist Church in Marshall, Texas had an all-night party for the young people. Young folks would go out in the cars and neck and pet. Don't you marry a fella that'll do that. Anyway, neck and pet. Then they'd go inside, drink enough coffee to stay awake, and go out 2 and 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, necking and petting, and only God knows what was going on in those cars. I was a young preacher, didn't have enough sense to know what to get on the radio the next morning and expose that to the whole city of Marshall. Back in those days, didn't have television, and every little town had a radio, a station, and everybody listened to it. That's the only way you get the news. I got home. His house was crying. Just a young bride. We married when I was 7. She was 4. She was crying. I said, what's wrong? She said, Dr. Rutledge is on the phone. He's pastor of First Baptist Church. I said, Dr. Rutledge, what can I do for you? He said, I understand that you mentioned us on the radio this morning. And I said, I wouldn't have if you'd had a decent party for young people. He said, I want to tell you something right now, Mr. Hiles. He said, with that kind of a spirit, you'll never have a big church. He ran 700. I put the phone down. I was 21 years old, that's all. His house was 11. I put the phone down. His house said, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to talk to my pastor. She said, you don't have a pastor. And then she said something that hit me like a ton of bricks and pierced me like a sword. She said, you never will have a pastor. I can't tell you how I felt. I'd always been close to my preacher. And all of a sudden it dawned on me I'd never have a pastor. A broken-hearted young man, I went out in the back of the pine thicket in our backyard and got on my knees. And I said, dear Pope, you're going to have to be my pastor. I love it. What a wonderful pastor I've had all these years. I've listened to him as he thundered great warnings. I've listened to him as he shouted great victories and great truths. I've listened to him as he exhorted and commanded. But for all these years, I've been scanning the pages, looking for a whisper. Looking for a whisper. You'd be amazed how much you'd love this book if you just get acquainted with it. If you just get acquainted with it. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty. Teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words. Wonderful words. Wonderful words of life. I love to read thunderings. I love to read its shouts. I love to read its commandments. I love to read its teachings and exhortations. But I also love to look for a whisper. For the whisper of the Lord is with those that fear Him. Would you bow your heads, please?